Hello and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. On today's show, it's just going to be me, fabulous old me, little old me. Hi, it's Connor. If this is the first time you've tuned into the podcast, really appreciate you taking the time, but I would suggest going back a couple of episodes before diving into this one so you get to hear the usual format with our fabulous guests. Now, if you really enjoy the solo episodes, there's a few of them so far and they've been really successful, and I really appreciate all the listens that have happened on them. And today, I wanted to touch on a very specific topic that is kind of been brewing in my mind for a little while now, honestly. It's been back and forth and I've not been really sure what to do with it. I've been seeing it happening for the last couple of months, not really sure entirely how to process it until maybe like a week or two ago when I tweeted about it and put those tweets on Instagram as well, which we're going to go through in a few minutes time, talking about the state of educational content, what I think about educational content, and in particular, the carousel type posts that we've been seeing a lot of recently. So before we get into that, just a couple of house notes for the show. House notes, is that the right words? No, it's housekeeping for the show. But today's housekeeping is going to be brought to you in a form of a beautiful sponsor called Skillshare. Now, I love Skillshare. I've recently started going through some new courses. I've done the Sagi Haviv course. I'm going through the Keep Productive How to Pick a To-Do List application course at the moment, which is really exciting and interesting because I'm obsessed with productivity and efficiency. But to get 2 free months of Skillshare and unlimited classes, yes, unlimited from something like 25 or 30,000 classes, or maybe even more than that. I think I'm probably even completely off with that number. But either way, you get 2 free months of Skillshare just by going to the link down in the description or skl.sh/cfowlerdesign to get 2 free months that you can cancel at any time. Now, if you do want to do a year subscription as well, that's super cheap, especially if you get a whole year up front. It's something like £7, which is about $8 or $9 a month. So for unlimited classes, it's exceptionally cheap. But if you're unsure about where to start, go and try those 2 free months, and if it's not for you, you can cancel or keep going, because in those 2 free months, you could learn a whole new program. You could learn a whole new skill set in 2 months. So thank you to our sponsor Skillshare for today's show. Check that link down in the description, and let's get on with today's show about Instagram educational posts. So as I said at the top of the show, I've been thinking about this topic for a long time. I have kind of been thinking about this topic since, middle of summer. I remember distinctly living in London and it being something like 30, 35 degrees or something crazy like that. And just sitting there with my mind melting, looking at this content going, how can I do this in an interesting or unique way? And this was very early on, and I'm going to try my best to avoid naming or giving opinions about people's work or particular content types or particular people's content on this show, because I don't think that's fair or really reflects or helps this topic of discussion. But I distinctly remember seeing a post from Pitchproof about, I don't remember what it was about, but it was in that carousel format, and it was in the middle of summer, and I was thinking, how can I do this in an interesting way that actually I will enjoy? And so I tried, as you guys saw on IGTV, to make some video content that was about 1 to 3 minutes long that explained various topics in detail, rather than using kind of the short microblog swipeable type content. And at the time, I thought that was quite interesting. I thought it was a little bit different to put it into video format instead of just images. But this is, 3 months ago now? Maybe even slightly further than that. And it's become apparent, and I have since realized that what I did, I didn't particularly enjoy doing that much. And I've also found that it's a massive bottleneck in my social media strategy, which I'll get to in a bit. Now, if you want to go back and kind of see where this thought that I've been having originated publicly, you can go to my Twitter feed at cfowlerdesign and find a tweet from 1:55 p.m., which is going to be in UK time, so it's not going to make any sense for you guys, potentially. But on October the 23rd, I made this series of tweets, but I'm just going to read through to you now in case you haven't read them, which gives us a summary kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And then I'll explain a little bit more about what these posts are, why they exist, who they're for, why everyone seems to be picking them up, the potential problems with them, general thoughts on thought leadership, which is an interesting sentence, learning and the benefits of that in comparison to going for thought leadership, and then what I'm intending on doing forward, moving forward, and what I think you guys should probably be focusing on as well, or at least considering when you're going to create or consume different types of content. So this tweet that I made on October 23rd was firstly started with a little warning triangle, which is, by the way, if you want to get some attention on Twitter, that's how you do it. Use all the warning emojis and act like something's about to explode. But so the tweet, let me read through this for you. The tweet says, I'm doing an update to my socials and pivoting my strategy for the next month onwards. As most of you know, I posted a lot of content in September, and a large portion of that was an experiment to see what I could manage and what worked. I haven't posted much in October, and now we're into November, and I still haven't posted very much because I've worked myself too hard, surprise, surprise, yet still surprise, surprise, and didn't make a manageable system, and I still haven't quite figured that out. So in that time, I've been observing lots of changes, content formats and trends, seeing what appeals to me and what doesn't work and what does work. I'm going to be shifting my personal strategy across and away from... I've come to the decision of changing my strategy across my main CFAL design accounts on most platforms, and these changes won't affect my LinkedIn or my Twitter because Instagram was just, as I say, a bottleneck and was really putting a lot of stress and extra work in for no reason. So going through these tweets, I basically explained that I'm looking for ways to make content more interesting. I won't be sharing any more thought leadership content, and I'll largely be using Instagram as a portfolio and case study type content rather than more of a documenting side rather than trying to do thought leadership stuff. And I made this post because I was completely burned out and still am quite burned out on viewing most of these carousel educational type pieces of content. There's only a few people I follow who do it, and even then, it was just a little bit too much. So even at this point, I think I should probably be following less people who do it, honestly. And I've realized that I was comparing myself to people who had 20 more years experience than I do, which I'll talk a little bit more about the problems of that later on. But it's such a tricky one, because when I thought about this, I was trying to tear apart this thought process for months. I was trying to tear it apart and go, what is the real problem here? And hopefully the rest of the show will help identify that for you, and also explain my thought process as well, because it's all well and good that I can sum this up in about 10 tweets, but until I've actually sat down and shared it on the podcast or shared this as a discussion with anybody, which, by the way, if anyone would like to have a discussion on this topic, please send me a tweet or a DM on Instagram. Be more than happy to have this as an actual conversation, because I think although I spend a lot of time thinking and overthinking things, sometimes this critical thinking is what leads to thoughts like this, is what leads to me making these tweets and then receiving a ton of messages and response back saying, actually, yeah, Connor, I share the exact same thought process as you. This is exactly how I felt, but I just didn't know how to sum it up in words. So when I get that type of response back, it's like, oh, great. Okay, well, we've hit a nail on the head. So we're going to share that on the podcast as well. And I know we're 10 minutes in. So let's actually get into the show now at this point. So it's November 2019, it's the 4th of November when I'm recording this, and these Instagram carousel posts are growing in number so quickly. As I said, since the summer, it's kind of gone exponential, and as more people explain how they do it and more posts of this format are being made, we're going to see more of these pieces of content. And I predict, this is just a rough guess, that this will probably be happening until like the second quarter of 2020, at least. Because everything dips down towards Christmas, and then everything comes back up again in the new year. Now, the majority of my feed at the moment, I don't follow very many people at all. In fact, I can just pull up my phone and tell you exactly how many people I follow. I follow 150 people on Instagram. And that's mainly for my mental health, because I was comparing myself to too many people. But the majority of my feed at this point is Instagram educational content, either in the form of carousel posts or video content. Now, there isn't a huge problem with that. People can do what they want. I don't have a problem with people making sharing what they want, but let's talk a little bit about what these posts actually are and why they maybe exist. Now, this type of microblog content, which is how you would typically describe this, you would translate a blog post into maybe a series of tweets, or you translate it into a quote graphic. So we've seen this in the past. If you go to founder with, instead of founder, no E, they've been doing quote graphics forever. Sean McCabe from Sean West has been doing quote graphics forever. People have been doing this for as long as people can do hand lettering or put non-photos on Instagram. That's what they've been doing. And this microblog experience, now that we have carousels and album posting, has allowed people to expand that a little bit further out. So you can get more content into these microblog type pieces. So they're no longer just a quote or just a tweet, but they actually expand a little bit further. Now, they're designed to share content and teach other people something new, interesting, or valuable. And more often than not, they succeed in that goal. And if their goal is to build up this an idea of reputation or thought leadership or expertise reputation in that particular space, particularly with designers, then they're doing their job. And it helps, these types of posts help showcase your knowledge and expertise. They can be a quick way, as we've seen recently, to get a higher engagement. And it makes your content really shareable. Because if you have 10 slides, for example, and on slide 3, you have something really important and valuable, people can go to that slide specifically and specifically share that slide to their story or to another platform or to WhatsApp. And that's what makes them so high in engagement, is because the algorithm loves it, loves people swiping through the posts and reading things, because reading takes longer. And the longer you're sat on one post, the more Instagram will push it up the algorithm. It's kind of just basic stuff. Something, if people spend more time on something, then it shows it to more people. That's how it works. And it's a quick way to get engagement at the moment, which is completely fine. Again, I don't want anyone to think that this type of content is something you should avoid, because that's not true at all. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just trying to say, let's really think about what you want out of this. Now, these carousel posts, you can bookmark them, you can save them, you can share them in a tweet. You don't need to watch a 20-minute video anymore to get the super high-quality golden nuggets, because someone who's made this post has distilled all these golden nuggets, all these golden pieces of information, down into something that you can consume in maybe a minute to 2 minutes at the most. If you wanted to take notes on it, maybe you'd spend 5 looking at it. But to actually just absorb and consume that piece of content is exceptionally easy. You don't have to listen to a 3-hour podcast or however long this podcast is going to be. But with these particular types of posts, there does seem to be a couple of problems with them. Now, again, I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, but that's kind of what those posts are. They are the extension of a tweet or a quote graphic, but they're not quite a blog post. You could probably write an entire blog post in the form of an Instagram carousel post. You probably could. But my God, that text would be very small and it would be very difficult to read. Most carousel posts that I've seen have somewhere between 8 and 30 words on them at the most. And sometimes they even just have one, so like 1 in 30 words, just for either impact or to convey a certain message. And it makes them super shareable. So that's why we're seeing a lot of them, and we're seeing lots of big accounts sharing them and doing really well with them. So more people are sharing them on top of that. And it does feel like everyone is picking them up and trying to either do their own spin or emulate others. Now, emulating is an interesting word, because I'm not using copying, because a lot of people have, this is kind of the general consensus I've had from the space, is that some people feel that they're other, this is going to get confusing. Okay, so you have someone who makes a piece of content that goes either viral or does really, just really well in engagement. And then you have other people who are either just going to copy that or emulate it. Now, people who just copy work and basically repost it in a different color scheme, we don't like those types of people. But if you're emulating something, if you're wanting to learn how to do it, emulating is a great way to do that. You're inspired by that piece of work and you want to try and recreate it for yourself, or recreate that format with different information, or the same information but a really different way of doing it. There's nothing really that wrong with that, because it's a great way to practice and build up your skills. And when people don't have as much formal training, for example, in layout design or typography and things, it will help you learn those skills and improve those skills really quickly. And emulating those who you admire with your own little twist on it is a really great way to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, many business books will tell you to go and look at the process and business plans of those businesses you admire. See what they did right, see what they did well, and then go and take those, do your own little Connor Fowler twist on them, or whatever your name is, put your own little twist on them, your own little personal perspective and story, but try running with it and seeing where it goes. Because often the reason they were successful is because they looked at someone else who was successful, and it makes your life a lot easier to achieve something eventually that's unique and valuable. Now, I'm not saying you have to be original with everything you do. As I said, there's nothing wrong with emulating. But you also have to be making content that's actually good and valuable. So to go back to that kind of Paul Rand, is it Paul Rand quote? I'm going to butcher this. This is going to be a brave moment. I'm pretty sure it is a Paul Rand quote, where he says that you don't need to try and be original. You just need to be good. And obviously, by being good, eventually you will make original things. You will make things that are unique. But first and foremost, you should be making things that solve the brief and convey the information you want it to convey in a clear and valuable and concise way. You don't want it to just be regurgitating or trying something unique for the sake of being unique. So you don't have to try and be original with this type of content. And there's no problem. I have no problem with people repurposing content. People do it all the time. You go and watch Gary Vee and you can pull, he repurposes content like once a week, maybe even once a month, but he has so much content that that doesn't really matter, because when you've seen a clip once, in a week's time, he's posted so much content that it's fine for him to post something of the same vein again, because people have either forgotten or people haven't seen it, so they will see it. Which, well, I'm slipping off track here, but there's nothing wrong with emulating this type of work and learning and practicing and trying to share it and seeing what's new, because this is new. This is a new format. It's like a presentation slide deck, but in a small educational format. It's really interesting. But one of the downsides I'm seeing at the moment is that a lot of this content that's being shared is not actually valuable. It's not because the information is unoriginal. It's perfectly fine to share 10 quotes from Design Legends. It's perfectly okay to take general practices that everybody knows, like, or the majority of people in this field know, and share it. Because at some point, someone will find that useful. Maybe one person who's brand new. But the vast majority of stuff I'm seeing shared either has no focus behind it or just has no value behind it. It's got no unique perspective. It's got no experimentation in it. It's got no way of branching out from the original idea or the thing someone was inspired by. It's just literally following along the same lines. And when lots of people are doing this, it feels like it's just adding to the noise, which is something that I said in my tweet storm that I put out, was that I didn't want to feel like I was just adding to the noise. I didn't want to be a part of the noise. I didn't want to feel like I was surrounded by static and then contribute something that just added more static. Because you don't have to be making something completely original to stand out, but you do need to do something. And at the moment, it feels like a lot of people are not doing that or are just regurgitating the same thing everyone else is doing, like verbatim, which, or they're regurgitating the same as what everyone else is doing, which is no good, because it just means that everyone will burn out on the content. And my tweet today before I recorded this kind of suggests that's the case, that in the beginning it was interesting and there are still some really awesome people to follow, but the vast majority of this content type is just becoming static. Now, that leads to some of the problems, as I've said, that there's massive repetition with this type of content. And everyone's a loose term, but a lot of people are using the same formats, using the same colors, using the same typefaces, and it feels like there's copycat stuff out there. Even though it's not copycat, because it's just design education content, it's not like you're stealing someone's logo and just changing the color by like two hues, but it's not stealing, but it does feel kind of copycat-ish. And it feels very much like when, oh, this is going to be a weird throwback, but when I first started posting heavily on Instagram, myself, Lisa Jacobs, and a few other designers, we're not the first people to do this, but we were definitely in amongst and at the kind of riding the roller coaster of doing logo sketches and flat lay posts and grid lay posts on Instagram. We weren't the first to do it by any stretch, but we were definitely part of that wave that kind of followed it up to the top. And we got tons of engagement for it. And what I'm starting to see now with educational content is very much a similar way that those flat lay posts went. We reached that peak. It hit trending point where everyone started doing it. And then everything started to look and feel the same. And it started to feel like you were going into a room where everyone's different and everyone has a unique story, but everyone is still just sharing the same thing. Which is a weird way to put it, but when everyone has a unique story, what they're trying to do is just get attention for this one thing. They're just trying to get attention and engagement because that's what they think they need or they want, rather than putting anything unique attached to it, because there are so many people out there who have incredible stories, who are from places in the world I could never even contemplate understanding how they live or how they work or the types of things they go through, but the things they post and share are still the same as everybody else, or very similar to everybody else. And although it's very easy to get likes and engagement with this type of content, it's maybe not the best way to do things. And people who are sharing this type of content, again, you do you, and I have no problem with that. And there's nothing wrong with looking at people you admire and trying to emulate what they do and sharing the knowledge that you know. But if you're just doing things by watching people you admire and then immediately jumping on it without considering, is this something that's going to be good for me? Obviously, you won't know that immediately, but you might know that immediately. You could think about it and consider it. Maybe it's not the best thing for you. Maybe you shouldn't be just submitting to the general noise and swarm of basic content. Maybe you should be looking for something that is distinctly you. Now, that could still be the carousel format, that could still be the swiping album format, but maybe there's something extra you can add to it. And that's one of the main problems that I have, is that I have to be so selective with what I consume because I've been so burnt out from accounts and stuff in the past, that when I see of the 150 people, I follow 150 people, that's not very many at all. When I see the vast majority of my feed being this type of content, it becomes very difficult to even want to sit and look through it. Which I appreciate when Lisa, I don't drag Lisa into this too much, but I'm sure she'll appreciate it. When Lisa and I were sharing all these sketch posts, as we started to realize that that's maybe not the best thing to do, and because we were seeing it everywhere, we were burnt out on doing it. So we stopped doing it, but it kept going. And it just dipped down and the content, it never actually really improved until the next thing comes on. And that's kind of what I feel like I'm seeing right now. And it's weird to think that that is a potential comparison from something that happened over 2 years ago at this point. Over 2 years ago? 2 years ago. And it's just this massive repetition, which makes it difficult and not particularly exciting to consume content. Like, you might see a particular person's posts who you really admire, but when everyone else is doing the same thing or doing very similar things, it kind of feels like you're just getting dizzy and spinning around and you're on a roller coaster that's doing the loop-de-loop 20 times and not really giving you a break. Yeah? And this type of content is often kind of pushed towards the idea of thought leadership. Now, what is thought leadership? It's kind of your reputation. So If you're sharing something or if you have thought leadership, you might think of someone who is an expert in their field or top of their game. So for example, you might think of people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, Tony Robbins, or incredible Richard Branson as incredible businessmen at the top of their game. And they have great thought leadership in that space. When they talk about business or talk about ideas related to what they know and what they've spent their life working on and their expertise, you believe them. You trust them. You think that their reputation is actually representative of the skills that they have and the knowledge that they have. So when it comes to this type of educational carousel content, that is generally what people are trying to do. They're trying to showcase the knowledge that they have. Now, I found myself comparing, when I was thinking about making this type of content and when I started to make some of it, I found myself comparing my skills and my content, my knowledge base, to those people who have between 20 and 25 more experience than me. In some cases, there are people out there and designers who I admire and businessmen and women who I admire who have 25 years more experience than I do, if not more. And this kind of democracy or democratization of this type of platform and content, again, particularly on Instagram, where everyone can do the same thing, everyone can create that and share that, it made me feel like I had to be as good as someone with 25 more years experience than me, which is exceptionally unhealthy because I'm 24 years old and there are people out there who have more than my lifetime of experience twice. Like they have twice my age in experience. And that's kind of insane. And it's unhealthy for you to sit and consider that that's normal. And if you're just kind of regurgitating that content that maybe someone else has made who has more experience than you, and you've not done anything with it, you've just taken it and put it in a post and shared it, I think that's a little twisted. And I'm not saying that you have to execute on everything you say or share. Like, you can still share design quotes if you've not spoken to Paul Rand directly. You can still share some information from a book that you've read. But you need to teach and share what you know in some kind of engaging way with the evidence and the expertise to back it up. And that expertise can be 25, that can be 35 years of experience in the design industry if you want it to be, or it can be more experience than the person who is one step behind you. But unless you do it in a valuable and engaging way, it feels a bit twisted to just share it. It feels a bit dark to be sharing this type of content when your only goal is to get engagement or attention for it. And one of the things that I've seen and one of the things that you might have heard in various places on social media is the idea of the 21-year-old life coach. And the 21-year-old life coach is someone who's looked generally up to these people they admire really highly, seen that they could potentially be a life coach, but do they actually have any expertise or experience to back it up? Probably not. But they still share content like they do. They still get clients like they are a life coach, even though they've only been in the professional world for 3 years or 4 years. And it just makes your content and your work feel a bit empty, a bit shallow, and it just doesn't last. And I really don't want to say, like I didn't want to say this when I put it in my tweets, but there are starting to become vibes in the design social media space of the 20-year-old life coach. Not specifically you will want to be life coaches, but the vibe and the aesthetic that goes along with that, this idea of just, oh, we've got attention for it, it'll be fine, I've got a lot more experience than I have, I know what I'm doing. And the lack of awareness that comes attached to that is I'm starting to see seep through, which is worrying. But it's not something that I think is going to be a major issue. But to look around in other places and see similarities has become, particularly with thought leadership content, has become something I'm concerned about, which is one of the reasons I don't want to do it. And the other reason I didn't want to focus too heavily on thought leadership content was because I personally found myself trying to dig through my mind to share something that was new or that I hadn't shared for a while. And if I spent all my time trying to teach other people or create content that took up a considerable chunk of time to teach other people, gonna have to plug my laptop in. Sorry about this. All right, laptop's plugged in. If you spent too much time trying to teach other people, when are you gonna have time to learn new things yourself? And I noticed that my mental capacity and my creativity levels were starting to deplete very quickly when I noticed I was reaching that edge, that precipice between learning new things and sharing what I know. I've shared so many things since 2017 on this podcast, on Instagram, on Twitter, where I got to the point that I felt like I was digging through the archives for something new or something of the same thing in a different format. And this is where I think many people need to sit down and consider what they're doing, because learning is just as important as trying to build thought leadership. Many people don't build expertise or become famous or become well known in their industry or have any kind of reputation till they're in their 40s, if not later, because it takes a considerable amount of time to become an expert in what you do. And I think many people are just trying to race to that finish line, myself included. But at least I recognize that I'm doing that and I can slow it down a bit and focus on actually improving my skills. So in 20 to 25 years time, I can actually teach people properly or effectively and clearly in a way that brings them value on a platform or in person that means something to them rather than just creating for the sake of it. And it's difficult because the idea of creating for the sake of it, again, is something that I don't want to dismiss, because you should be making because you want to, because you're passionate about it. But this is kind of where I draw the line, in that if your only goal is to just get that attention, it seems like a waste of time. In fact, I'd say it is a waste of time, because as I've talked to you guys before about on the podcast and these solo episodes, social media is a dangerous tool. Having an audience of any size is dangerous, but it's also extremely empowering, and it's difficult to recognize when it's going one way or the other. And I can see, or I have the gut feeling that this is where this type of content is going for some people, where some people do it incredibly well and they're doing it the right way, but there is a large swath of people out there who are just not. And eventually in the long term, it will hurt them more than it will benefit them. Now, what do I think you should be focusing on and why? Maybe not instead, but just in general when it comes to this type of content or ideas to consider. Because I spent the best part of 25 minutes now just explaining to you the benefits of this type of content, why it's doing so well, and also the potential problems with it. And it's hard because this type of conversation is difficult. It's difficult to share this kind of thing. It's difficult to really think about what you want and what you think is going to be, or who you're creating it for, and what they're going to get out of it. And for myself personally, I'm going to be stopping producing designer-focused content on my main Instagram feed. Now, what's designer-focused content? It's anything, and largely educational stuff, any kind of video or posting or things like that, that is purely designed to teach or educate designers. And that's just my main feed. I'm not talking about Instagram stories. I'm not talking about Q&As on Instagram stories or anything like that. But I don't think sharing educational content or designer-focused educational content has helped me in the past. And unfortunately, because of where I want to take my social media strategy, creating designer-focused educational content was just going to be a bottleneck. It would have been, Instagram would have been the only place it was shared, and it took me considerable time to make it. And that obviously means that the more time I spend doing that, the less time I can spend learning new things. And if it's not part of a system where I can create things in batch or make things in a certain format that can be shared other places and redistributed, it becomes very difficult to say, this is worth my time. Now, sometimes it is. Creating this podcast, at the moment, the only place the podcast gets distributed is on podcast platforms. But I thoroughly enjoy making the podcast, whereas I was not particularly enjoying sharing educational content in the form of Instagram carousel posts. Now, I think with the podcast specifically, just to run that point to its end, the podcast for me is something that I do for fun. I get to speak to amazing people and I get to talk about things that are on my brain when I do solo episodes. And that's what I love about it. I would still be doing this no matter how many people were listening. Obviously, I appreciate the fact you are listening and you have got this far into this episode, but I would still be doing this regardless of how many people were here. Because I like this medium. And I can potentially later down the line make this into something bigger than it is, or change the way it's distributed, or many different things. But the educational content was just that bottleneck. It was a bottleneck of my time, my resources, and my mental capacity, because I was just comparing myself all the flipping time to other people. And because of that, I'm also going to be consuming less of these accounts. So I'll only end up reacting or following or engaging with accounts that I really, really enjoy, which is kind of difficult because I only follow 150 people at the moment. And so to consider cutting that down even further just makes me miserable. But for my mental health, and potentially for yours as well, it might well be worth sitting down and going, right, these 10 people are all sharing the same thing, and it's not even that great. Maybe I should stop following them and pick someone who I can really hone in on, absorb everything they do, and learn from that one person instead. Because I've burnt out in the past regularly from overworking and overconsuming. I've burnt out specifically on this type of content within like 3 months. I don't say, maybe not burnt out is the wrong way. I'm bored of this content and it's not providing me with as much value as it was because I keep seeing so much of it. And this thirst for knowledge, especially the way that these posts are made in such a fast, absorbable, super quick format, the thirst that you have for knowledge, especially in this format, is just completely unquenchable. You cannot stop taking this type of content in because it's so easy to consume. It's like you're sat in the cinema with a massive bag of popcorn, or you're at the movies or at the theater or whatever, but you have a massive bag of popcorn. And it's super easy to put one piece of popcorn in your mouth. They're super light, they're easy, they taste maybe sweet or salty, whichever side you like, but you can munch and chew on those and swallow them so fast that you can eat through the entire bag in one sitting. And that's what it feels like when you absorb all this content, particularly of the same type and the same information. It's like eating that entire bag of popcorn. You can eat the entire bag and it won't take that long. But you probably shouldn't, and it's probably going to make your stomach hurt for 6 hours. Which sucks. Because some people are sharing incredibly valuable things, but if you're just over-consuming on it, you're going to get food poisoning. So you probably shouldn't be. You should probably be looking and doing what I'm going to be doing. If this is how you're feeling, if you feel like you're over-consuming this, maybe try what I'm doing, which is reducing the amount of people you follow to actually follow people who bring a bit more value, who can guarantee that Because when you are more selective about what you're eating or consuming, you'll really enjoy every single bite. Ooh, voice break. You'll really enjoy every single bite instead of just eating as much as you can until you're about to explode. And this is kind of the next bit that I want to talk about, is what I think more people need to be doing and or looking at or considering. So don't take this as gospel. I don't want you to walk away from this and say, right, I'm going to follow exactly what Connor said to the letter. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to listen to what he said and tick off all these boxes. Yeah, no, don't do that. But really consider what I've said for the last 45 minutes and use this as a thought exercise next time you go to make a piece of content, or next time you view this type of content, or the next time you think, ah, I've really got to start sharing educational content because someone else is, or someone I admire is. And I think most designers, almost every designer that I know, or creative in general, or businessman or businesswoman, or person who has built their own thing or has a unique set of skills, have some knowledge that, or unique experiences that no one else has. And it's a case of finding out what that is. It's a case of realizing that you have something unique about you and sharing that. And then you tie those unique experiences. This is what I think more people should be doing. I think more people should be tying their unique experiences, their unique cultural background, their unique stories into what they know, into the educational content, into building up a reputation and thought leadership. Because what makes them different is what makes you different is actually what's most valuable, not the 10 design quotes that you could share. You can just think about it in a way of, oh, I'm just going to regurgitate. But, and that's fine. You'll get some attention for that. But no one will follow you for your brand. No one will follow you for your reputation, your ideas, your culture, your stories. And that's what I think it makes people most valuable in this world. So I want to see more of that. I want to see more ideas about conversations you've had with parents who didn't think you could ever be a designer, or and how that affects your business, how that affects your mindset. Maybe it could be about a particular challenge you overcame, or maybe the way things are done where you're from are different from maybe a designer that you know. So for example, if Bless and I sat down and had a conversation, that would be a unique experience that we could share and turn into a piece of educational content about how different cultures work. This type of educational content, and obviously you can tie that back into design if you want to, could be exceptionally valuable. So consider that next time you're making something like this. And then the next point on top of that, the next layer, is you need to think about who you are making this content for. Don't just share quotes from design legends and then end your 10th post with a, hey, thanks for checking out this post. Please hire me for logo design work. That makes no sense. You've made an entire post targeted at designers because designers are going to be the ones who are interested in quotes from legendary designers. Most clients are not going to be interested in these types of quotes. So you've made an entire post for designers and then asked to be hired. And it makes no sense. The targeting is completely off. If you're wanting to target clients, make content that appeals to them. Make content that solves their business problems. If you want to make work to target designers, do that. And make content that solves their problems. But don't cross the two, and make sure you really know who you want to be targeting. If you want to get client work, if you want to get logo design work or client, specifically client work, then you need to be making content that appeals to clients. It's that simple. And that's what a lot of people are missing. You need to really pay attention to what you're doing and what you're wanting to create and who it's for. If you want to sell courses or teach designers, then create content like that for designers. If you want to help businesses solve their business problems or help people rebrand their logo and figure out why they need a new one, make content for them. Don't cross the two over because it just kind of makes it look like you don't know what you're doing. Which is difficult because the way to get engagement on Instagram and other platforms is to generally to appeal to those in your field. It's very easy to share design content. It's very easy to do that. Very, 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 very easy. Because we're designers. We know what we like. If you want to be making stuff that actually gets you hired, you need to be focusing on that, or at least figuring out who your target audience is. So before you make your next thing, think about who it's for. Think about who you want to be targeting. And then do it. Now, the last section that I wanted to talk about with this podcast, well, before that, actually, I'm going to take a quick drink. So you probably won't hear this because I'm going to edit it out probably. I think doing 46 minutes of talking without taking a drink is pretty good. But so the last section I wanted to do on this show was talking about the differences between creating and consuming, because as I just said a couple of minutes ago, the idea is like you're eating popcorn and you're just shoving a handful at a time into your mouth. And it feels great to have like a gob full of popcorn, it really does. But when you eat that entire bag in one sitting, you're gonna feel sick. So I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about creating versus consuming and the goods and bads for that. But just to give us a quick summary, we've talked about what Instagram educational posts are, what they're doing. And that doesn't just go for Instagram, but it goes for LinkedIn as well. Anywhere this type of carousel post can come in. We've explained what they are and why they exist. We've looked at why everyone seems to be picking them up and emulating other people. We've looked at some of the problems with them. We've looked at thought leadership in general and the good side and the bad side of that. We've also looked at learning and how learning is just as important as building up expertise and thought leadership, because one leads to the other. I've explained what I'm going to be doing moving forward. I've asked you to question what you're doing and what I think you should be focusing on in the future. And now we're going to look at the final topic, which is creating versus consuming, the goods and the bads, all of that type of stuff. Now, as I said, these microblog, carousel, educational posts, whatever you want to title them, are so easy to consume that the space is getting very oversaturated. And because it's easy to make this type of content, or generally fairly easy to make this type of content, it's only been around for, well, what are we now? Maybe five, six months at the most. And people are starting to feel oversaturated and bored with it. We're losing the brain space and the capacity to take it in. Instead of reading long captions or analyzing a piece of design work, maybe a piece of packaging, we're perfectly okay now with reading 8 large, big, fat words on a screen. As I said, 8 to 30 words on the screen and moving over and over and over, repeating and consuming and repeating and consuming. And this method of consuming, this heavy content consumption at such a rate that we're going, is just not healthy. It's taken me a long time to figure that out. Because it is so easy. It's so easy. But it's just not good for you. And it's a difficult thing to hear, and it's something that I think more of us need to strive to be doing. I'm trying to get myself to do this more, and it's an ongoing battle, but you should be making as much, if not more, content than you are consuming. Because the more time you spend consuming other people's content, the less time you're working on your own stuff. And we hear this a lot. We definitely hear this a lot from different people. And I've mentioned this before as well, at some point. And it's something that I still struggle with. But it should be an aim to be making as much, if not more, content than you are consuming. So if you're spending 8 hours a day on your phone, which in the past I have, if I've been feeling sick or horrible or just gross, I will sit and waste my entire day sat on my phone. If you are going to spend 8 hours a day on your phone, you need to be out there putting out as much content as that, because otherwise you're just going to get left behind. And my suggestion to you and anyone who you might share this with is that you need to be carving your own path. You need to be creating good work and focusing on your content and who you want to target. You need to be creating work that appeals to who you want to target and helps them in some way. And as I said, many people and many creatives and designers feel that is other creatives and designers. But deep down, they want to get hired by clients. So those two things just don't add up. And it's kind of the summary of this entire section, really, is that I have no problem with people sharing this type of content if they bring something unique to the table. If they bring their story and you bring your unique story to the table. I have no problem with people sharing this type of content if it's targeted at who they're wanting it to target. But if you're just being lazy and thinking, oh yeah, I can get some likes and engagement for this. I just need some more followers. I just need to hit 1,000 followers or 10,000 followers or 1,000,000 followers. Then you'll be able to do that. But when this trend's over, what's going to happen then? You're going to have no clients. You're going to be struggling and you're going to have an audience that doesn't care about what else you do. Because ultimately, you've not been sharing what makes you unique. It's difficult. This is a difficult topic for me to talk about, a difficult thing for me to have uncovered and broken down in writing. But it's here. And hopefully, this has actually given you some more clarity, because I don't want you to feel like you have to share this type of content. You don't have to share carousel educational content. You can just share design work. If you want to share carousel content, go for it. It's going to take some time potentially for you to get good at it and to practice it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to. You can if you want, but don't feel like the pressure is that you have to. You could write a blog. You could record a video. You could record a podcast like this, or just share your design work on Instagram or Behance or Dribbble or Twitter. You could just share your design work. And then maybe throw in something every so often to help your clients. And I really do hope that if you're listening to this, that it has made some kind of impact on the way you think about this. The next time you consider following or emulating or copying what everybody else is doing, that you consider whether it will actually reflect you and your unique experiences, and whether it will actually hit and target the people you want it to. Because if it doesn't, you're going just on a losing battle. You're just digging yourself a hole, which, as I mentioned about the flat lay logo sketch posts, I feel very fortunate to have stopped doing those when I did. Because if I was still doing those now, or if I was thinking that I had to post those now to get engagement, I would not be very good in terms of my mental health and where I am personally. Now, I'm not using that as a scare tactic, because that's not fair, but really consider what you are making and who it is for, and then look at the format that you want to do it in. What makes you unique? Who are you for? Who are you for? Who is the content for? And then talk about the format. Don't feel that the format has to dictate everything that you do. And if you'd like to read the initial tweets that I made about this, I will put a link down in the description. And I really hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. It went on a bit longer than I thought it was going to, but I'm really glad that I spent the time to just run through all of the notes that I've made and explore and expand on all of them. Thank you to everyone who has discussed this topic with me, either on Twitter or on Instagram. And if you'd like to, after hearing this episode, send me a message or share this podcast, I'd really appreciate it. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, you can just share it straight to Instagram stories. That's always appreciated. And if you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star review and a comment about what you thought about this show. Thank you very much to everyone who has tuned in, and I really appreciate the fact you spent the last hour or so listening to this, and hopefully it's given you something to think about. I will be continuing to make notes on the state of the social media design world, or design social media world, and seeing what comes up and what changes and how I perceive these certain types of content, because obviously everyone's got a different view, but this is just my thoughts and some mindset shifts I've had recently that I think might help some of you. So thank you very much for tuning in. The show will be back same time next week. Oh, it's on a Thursday. And yeah, please share it with a friend, either in a Twitter message or a WhatsApp, or just send it to someone who might need to hear this. So yeah, thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you same time next week. Bye for now.